Hi everyone, welcome back to Jed's Podcast. It's been a long time since I've done a podcast. Today I've got a special guest, Jaden Donaldson. He's on the phone for us, co-coach of the Bridgewater Footy Netball Club. Welcome, JD.
Jed, thanks for having me, mate. Absolute pleasure to be here.
No worries, thanks for coming on. How have you been anyway in isolation at the moment?
Yeah, look, not too bad so far, Jed, to be honest. So there's been plenty of PlayStation and a little bit of work, and made some homemade sausage rolls today. So that was a good achievement. Don't usually do too much cooking, mate. So, but look, you know, getting through it so far, so good. Obviously, a bit disappointing not to have footy, but hopefully we can get a bit of the season in.
Yeah.
What about yourself? How have you been handling it, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. Just been walking the dogs a little bit. Me and Cooper been going and having a kick of the footy, obviously, once a week down at Strath at the footy oval. So we've been getting out, doing a bit of exercise and just playing the PlayStation and that too, pretty much. And just watching old footy highlights, pretty much. That's what we've been doing.
Good to hear, mate. Good to hear.
So, why did you choose to leave Stratford, say Storm, and leave and look for other options at other footy clubs?
Jeez, the hard questions straight up, Damien Barrett. Thanks for that. Appreciate it. I've played at Stratford for the last 10 years, and I have loved absolutely every second of it, mate. The best thing that's happened to me was going to that footy club, and I can see myself spending, in one way or another, every, the next 20 years there, after I finish up at Bridgewater at some point. So I had a lot of really close friends that have played and still do play out at Bridgewater, and have been sort of closely following them for a long time. It was just a bit of an opportunity, mate, to dip my toe in and do some senior coaching with a good mate and former teammate, Dale Cameron. And I just thought the timing was right. I'm pretty old, fat and slow now, mate, so I didn't have too much to offer in the Bendigo Footy League, so I just thought it'd be a good way to finish off my playing career by hopefully coaching a year, maybe two, and just experiencing what it's like at a different club in a different league. So that's pretty much it, mate.
What obviously was your favourite memory at Strath before you obviously went out to Bridgewater this year?
Yeah, look, that's a good question, mate. I've had so many good times out there. Probably 2017 was a pretty special year when, we got written off by a few different people and found ourselves in the grand final. And even then, to be, 30-odd points or whatever it was down at three-quarter time and to come back and win when we, weren't favourites, that was a pretty special year. And what made it so good was that the reserves and the under-18s also won, and I think a couple of the netballers, I think the B reserve and maybe A res also won that year. So the celebrations preceding that, which you were a part of, mate, and out at the rooms, and then the next few days, which thank God you weren't a part of, in the pubs and everywhere else we went, was something that I'll never forget, that feeling, because it wasn't just 22 blokes, it was pretty much the entire football netball club, which was a brilliant feeling.
What was it like for you to play with blokes that are obviously retired from the AFL and obviously come to Strath, like Milne and Baker? What was it like for you playing with them?
Yeah, to be honest, mate, it was a little bit of a thrill. It was something different because at the time there wasn't too many ex-AFL players in the Bendigo Footy League. There had been one or two, but probably not to the high I know Nathan Thompson obviously was in there, but you know, Stephen Milne's obviously a pretty big name in footy, one of the greatest small forwards of all time. So to play with them, it was fantastic. There's no doubt it made us, as a pretty young team there in 2014, made us walk a little bit taller, walk out, you know, with a little bit more confidence, knowing that you had a couple of blokes out there that have seen and done everything you can do in footy pretty much. And look, the way that they applied themselves and endeared themselves to our club and community was pretty special. I remember after round one we had a function that night, and it was a very large one, and I remember I was one of the last to leave with Milne, and he you know, well after midnight, and then I was back there for recovery the next morning at 10 a.m. and he was in the room on the vacuum cleaner vacuuming everything up, and you'd often do a dollar's kick, same with Bates. So the way that they gave back to the community, not just on the footy field, was pretty special to see.
Yeah, that's right, Jaden. It's obviously fantastic to see blokes like Milne and Bakes obviously other players that have retired and they obviously play in different leagues and at different clubs to obviously give back to the community. That's fantastic, isn't it, when they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's been a huge focus since the day I walked into the Strathdoors, and which was the same time as blokes like Darryl Wilson and Shannon Geary, Ash Trollope, Sam Mildrum, Tom Dowd, all walked into the club and joined blokes like, you know, Sharpie, Bonnie, Cal Smith, and a few of the stalwarts that were around there, like Clint Whitsett and a couple of those older guys. And the whole focus was, it's not just about what's happening out on the footy field for those, you know, couple of hours you're out there. It's actually everything else that goes into it. And a big part of that's, you know, doing the Oz Kick, doing the junior clinics, getting around, helping out the community when we can. And, it's definitely something I've been proud to be a part of.
Yeah, that's right, mate. That's one thing that I love about Storm is they're a great community club, and they're welcoming to everyone. And I suppose too, as you just said then about like things going to Auskick and that, I suppose that from my aspect is that there's a lot of people that out there actually don't realise what a lot of players give back to the clubs and do. There's a lot of people out there just assume that players turn up for training and game day and that's about it. That's obviously not what happens, is it, in most clubs?
No, it's actually quite a bit to it. You know, when you break it down for those, particularly those months during the season, you know, you have your recovery session on a Sunday morning, you quite often find yourself at Healthy Mates or somewhere on the Monday, then you have your training on the Tuesday, and then quite often you go help the juniors on the Wednesday, then training on the Thursday, then you're back at Healthy Mates getting ready for the game on the Friday, then you play Saturday, and then all of a sudden it's Sunday and you start all over again. So, you know, when you're, you know, a part of a community club, like you said, Strathies, I guess the future of that club in particular is the juniors coming through. So I think it's something that Strath do really, really well, is try and embrace those juniors and hopefully foster through the next group of footballers that when I'm old and on the hill drinking a beer, watching, and I can say, oh, yeah, I actually trained with that kid back when he was about, grade four. So, there is quite a bit that goes back into it, Jed, but the players love it. And I think, you know, when you look back on it, they really are the best, you know, few years of your life.
Yeah, that's 100% right. What you just said then, mate, about the junior program and that they've all got set up down there. It obviously works really well, obviously with your under 18s, I suppose, then winning a couple grand finals a few years ago, then they're the ones that are coming through your reserves and senior football level.
Yeah, exactly right. I can actually remember, you know, blokes like, I remember Sam Heaviside and Benny Lister played the first senior game at Strathmore, I think, against Kangaroo Flat for memory, back in about 2012 or 13, and they were just young 17-year-old boys there, and now I count both of them as a couple of my best mates. So it's been awesome to see a lot of these boys come through the ranks. I remember when, you know, Jam Sheehan was a under 15 player, and coaching quite a few of the other boys like Riley Wilson and stuff like that at different times. Mason Wakefield, a lot of these boys now that are, you know, going to be playing sensational senior footy for Strathmore for the next, you know, 5-10 years, and hopefully win a few flags. It's been personally, it's been a thrill seeing them come up and come through the ranks.
Yeah, that's right. I suppose from my point is that I think it's fantastic that blokes like you and Cal Geary and Sam Heaviside and Benny Lester and obviously Lockie Sharp, and there's plenty of others that I could name that look after the young ones and always have your time and day for them at training and on game day.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Look, we're not superstars. If you're going to walk around thinking that you're too good for people and not give back a little bit, you'll soon get shown the door at Strath and a lot of good footy clubs. So, look, it is a great part. And as, you know, I know for a fact that Benny Lester has embraced that role more than anyone that I've seen, that I think he's... you know, experience how good it was to have older blokes get around him and I guess showing the ropes and introducing him to senior footy and become mates with. And he's definitely done that with that next generation as well. He's as good of a coach and a leader, and you know that the club's in safe hands when you got blokes like him and Sharpie and Sam Heaviside and those sorts, and, you know, James White. And it doesn't have to be the best footballers either. There's a lot of great community people involved with the club off the field, blokes like Rocket Barty and Craig Simpson and stuff like that. So it's not just any one individual. It needs to be a whole club sort of mentality, and I think they do it well.
That's right, mate. There is so many amazing people at the club work so hard, as you just said, behind the scenes, obviously. There's so many people that do a great job at Storm.
Yeah, that's right, and you're one of them, Jed. One of the better water boys that I've come across in my time, mate. And as you know, I was always gasping for air and water. So thank you for the years that you helped me out there when I was behind the play in the back line. Look, it is particularly a big club like that that has so many members and sponsors. I think that it's literally up to 100 people on a weekend, you know, working together to put, you know, a group like that and a club like that together. And it's the same at every footy club, Jed. And I've only had a limited amount of time, obviously, at Bridgie at this point, but I see a lot of the same values and attributes that have made Shuff really well. I can see, you know, fairly prevalent out at Bridgewater, which is great. So I really, as you said, it does take a lot of people to bring a club together and get all those teams out on a weekend.
Yeah, that's right, mate. So how was your pre-season out at Bridgie with Dale?
Yeah, no, look, it was actually really good. We had a ripper pre-season, mate. We started sort of middle, late November, which they told me when I went out there they hadn't started before Christmas in a very long time. But I said, well, if you don't make finals, then there's no excuse not to start before Christmas. So, look, straight away from day one, the numbers were awesome. We had a really good buy-in from the playing group. We struggled to find an oval. Bridgie Oval is a bit dry up there, and there's a bit of a drought, so the water wasn't on there. So we've been training down at Flora Hill Primary School, and then we were able to set up at after Christmas at Spring Gully Soccer Oval, Cricket Oval, which was really good. The surface there was great. So, look, we had a great time. All the boys were flying and I think enjoying it. And we had a pretty good run with injuries. So, yeah, well, everyone was pretty excited for round one. But, look, it was a great experience, obviously planning it with Dale and with the assistance of a few of the other blokes like Zeb Borgman and Harry Simons and Liam Jarks and... having a chat to a few of those older players that have been there and done that, I thought we were able to put together a pretty solid pre-season. And, all the boys are still doing stuff now, mate. So hopefully it wasn't all for nothing and we can get a bit of footy.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Let's hope that footy can return at some time this year. Who knows? Who knows when that may be? Have you and Dale and your... other coaching staff set up like a training program for your players at the moment, just to train by themselves, obviously, while the coronavirus stuff's happening?
Yeah, it's a good question, Jed. Look, we have sort of, nothing too specific. We've actually set up a bit of there's an app called Strava, and it links up to your phone or your GPS watch or your iWatch or whatever you might have, and it records pretty much all the exercise that you do. If you go for a run or a kick or a ride or whatever, and it records that. So we've got quite a few things. There's about 16 of the boys in that, all keeping an eye on what each other's doing and stuff, and we're really lucky. We've got some bloody really self-motivated blokes out there that wouldn't matter, you know, what the situation was, they're still going to keep themselves in rip and nick and keep training hard. So nothing official as yet. We will, you know, once we probably get through the next month and we might have a bit more of an indication on timelines of what's happening, then we'll definitely structure something more serious for us to do. But at the moment, all the boys have been pretty good, just going for a run or a ride every day and keeping active. And I think that's all that needs to be done for the time being.
Yeah, that's awesome, mate, to hear that your players are still motivated to keep themselves fit and just continue and try to stay positive, like everyone else is at the moment, aren't they? They're just trying to stay positive about things.
Yeah, that's right, mate. It's all about the attitude. Unfortunately, most of this is out of our control. It's not a positive, but one thing you can take from it is that we actually are all in this together. It's not like it's something that affects, really too much, your location or what your profession is or anything like that. Everyone's sort of on a pretty even playing field and having to do the right thing as far as isolation and things like that go. So, look, we're doing everything we can to keep positive. There's plenty of funny little photos and a bit of banter going on in our private group, which is always good. We're just trying to stay positive and ready and hopefully we can get some sort of footy in this year, which, look, I probably, everyone's got an opinion on it, Jed, what's going to happen and, when it might be. My opinion probably changes on a daily basis depending on who I speak to, but I think one way or another there'll be some sort of football this year, whether it's a little round robin at the end of the year, whether it's a 9-game season with finals, whatever it is, I know everyone will be keen to do something as soon as we're allowed to.
Yeah, that's 100% right, mate. I personally don't think the players would care if they only played 5 games. I'm sure they just want to get out there at least and play, yeah. Don't they, at the end of the day? That's what they want to do.
That's the feedback I've got, mate. I don't think money's going to be an issue. I honestly think that people are going to have to play for free, which, in itself is a good thing. It'll show the blokes who actually just want to play for fun and love footy. And I think after this little layoff, I don't think there'll be any player out there that won't appreciate the privilege and the right that we have to play footy. and how fun and special it is. And it's not necessarily about the money. It's about being around your mates. It's about that sort of that competition and what we do out in the field, but also the beers and a bit of banter and fun that we have in the rooms afterwards. And yeah, it's hard to put a price on being able to do that. So I'm hoping that this is a little bit of a wake-up call for, you know, potentially some leagues and the way as a whole footy, you know, community that we go about things, and maybe the focus can shift back to sort of yeah, the love of the game, and yeah, I'm sure everyone will be keen as to do whatever it might be. You know, as I said before, whether it's a short season, a round robin, whatever it is, I know all the boys will be itching to get involved.
Yeah, I actually read a quick article today in one of the local Bendigo Advertiser paper, and there's a thing on there. There's a couple of players from different clubs. Obviously, Sharpie was one, and Nick Stagg, I think, was one. And one of the players from Sandhurst said, anyway, in that I'm happy to play for free. I'm not here just to make money. I'm here because I enjoy the game, which is fantastic, isn't it?
Oh, look, it's brilliant to hear. And look, to be honest, mate, the vast majority of players are like that. I've only come across a few in my time that probably play footy for money. There's been players that do get paid money because they're good enough, but and so they should. But there's only been a few in my time that probably prioritise that over, I guess, you know, other aspects of footy, like, you know, playing with your mates and things like that, which is completely fine. But I think you'll find the vast majority of footballers just love competing, just love getting out there. And, yeah, if you can get a little bit of money to cover your costs, and, you know, I've always been a strong opinion that I've always had enough to cover the beers afterwards, and you know, tip it straight back over with at all the functions and getting all the apparel and everything like that. And I'm sure it takes the stress off a lot of people knowing that money's, you know, not going to be a factor.
Yeah, that's right, mate. It is obviously going to have a massive impact on the game once it returns. Obviously, with the AFL saying, obviously, 80% of staff have been stood down at the moment, and there's obviously a couple of people that I know have unfortunately lost their jobs. What impact is it going to have on competitions like your TAC Cups and your Bendigo Pioneers and things like that? What do you think the main impact is it's going to have on that, obviously?
Look, it's going to have a severe... I think it has everybody. I honestly think the TAC Cup are affected the most because those poor guys and girls, sort of, they've got their one little window to have their big year and try and, you know, put their names forward to get drafted. And it looks like that's going to be severely affected. So probably more so than nearly most other leagues, except obviously the AFL and VFL, but they're going to be the most affected. Hopefully they can, you know, get some sort of footy in this year as well. But I think what it'll do is it'll see a lot of the professions, so a lot of the jobs and roles within footy, whether it be administration or assistant coach and stuff, they're just not going to be available. From the AFL all the way down to our country leagues, there's just not going to be the money there, Jed, to spend. So you're going to see a lot of, you know, coaching staffs diminish. So instead of having five assistant coaches, you know, it might be down to your one and two. Instead of having an assistant, you know, video editor, there might be just one person who does all the media. And with the administration, I think it's going to take some time before all those, you know, there's enough money in the game and the AFL for those, you know, roles to come back, which is really unfortunate because for the most part, they, you know, they've done a pretty good job. And same as you, Jed, know a lot of those people that are in those roles, and they're fantastic people that first and foremost love footy and have done a great job. So look, hopefully we see that come back at some point, but I think it will take some time.
Yeah, that's 100% right, Jade, what you just said there, mate. It's obviously going to take at least a few years to recover from what's obviously currently happening at the moment.
Exactly right. And look, from a just our club point of view, so for example, Bridgie and stuff, it just means it's really hard for us to lean on sponsors. Not everyone, a lot of these sponsors are mum and dads, their local businesses, their families, their ex-players, and things like that. And a lot of their businesses have been severely affected, mate. So it's one of those things. There's just not going to be the money in footy and, not having, 18 games to raise money at and all these functions and stuff. It's not going to be there. And as I said, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think it's a good opportunity for blokes to remember and why they play footy and go out there and support the community and hopefully bring these communities together again. I know for a fact that the first game that we are allowed out there, that feeling and that excitement of having everyone back in the community and footy back, it's going to be like playing final. It's going to be fantastic. So really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's obviously good to hear that everyone's just banding together and you just touched on there about sponsorships. I totally understand from where you're coming from, mate, because obviously my mum's involved with a footy club from the Bendigo Suns. Obviously, she's on the committee, and they've pretty much told the sponsors, don't worry about it this year anyway.
Yeah, and look, we've been pretty much the same, Nate. And, putting my other hat on at McKean Gregor, I'm the sponsor of Strath as well. And look, we're happy, these footy clubs quite often are fantastic with what they do back to the sponsors, particularly Strath. They're great the way that they do treat their sponsors. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of opportunities over the next year when things get back to normal for that to happen. But I think it's just going to be a matter of the players and pulling together. And because we know the community will. We know as soon as footy's back out and playing that the people are going to come and watch and support and get involved. It'll be just, I think, a matter of the players maybe, being a little bit more flexible with, the payments and stuff when the season starts. That's a general feeling that I'm getting from talking to other coaches and listening to presidents and what they've said in the paper. And I think that's a general consensus around most leagues.
Yeah. So obviously, what type of impact has it mentally had on some of your players with obviously not being able to play and train at the moment? What mental impact has it had on them?
Yeah, to be honest, mate, I think everyone's been pretty good. I've tried to touch base with a lot of the boys and, communicate in the group, but I think for the most part, pretty good. Had a couple of boys like Zed Broadbent coming off a year off with a knee reconstruction. I know for him, he's, the amount of rehab and work he's been doing towards, getting back out there, it must be a little bit frustrating for him that there's a bit of an unknown on when, after all that work he's done, when that'll be, when he gets back out there. But look, I think all in all at this stage, everyone's pretty positive and hanging in there. And it's just a bit of a fortnight by fortnight sort of, prospect at the moment. We sort of just, reassess at the end of every 2 weeks and just, figure it out from there, mate.
Yeah, that's right, mate. The leagues have obviously told the clubs that the leagues and the AFL are obviously going to reassess the whole thing at the end of May. They said the 31st of May, I believe, they're going to reassess everything and they're going to sit down and obviously start having conversations when trainings might be allowed to start again and when games may be allowed to start again or when they may not be allowed to start again. That's my understanding of what they've been saying.
Yeah, that's right. So that's our understanding as well. I actually got an email today sort of saying that they've given a couple of different scenarios that, what the season will look like if we were to start in May, in June. And there's also a little thing here of what the season would look like You know, if we were to start in July. So basically, if we were able to get started and have a round one on the 4th of July, you'd have, you know, you'd get nine, this is the Loddon Valley, obviously, you'd get nine games in, so you'd play every team once, then you'd start finals at the start of September and have the, you know, the grand final on Saturday, 26th of September. So look, you know, that's a great, great to see that they have a couple of different options in place, whether it be a June start or a July start. So let's just, you know, hope that we can get through this as a community and the country, and things continue to look positive, and what we're doing now, hopefully we can reap the benefits in a couple of months' time.
Yeah, that's right, mate. The Bendigo League did put out in the advertiser. So I think it was last week. The Bendigo Football League said themselves when the season does get away, they were looking at maybe a nine round as well. That's possible. They've said in the media that's on the table, apparently, from what they've said.
Yeah, and look, that'd be great if you can get at least one game in. I think to do a proper season, you have to play everyone once. There's no doubt about that whatsoever, mate. But, you know, look, you know, best case scenario, that would be fantastic if every team played each other once and then you had a final series. Worst case scenario, organising some sort of, you know, 1 month long round robin where you might play two games in the day or something like that. And if not every team was able to be involved, it'd be fantastic to see, you know, Bridgie. It might be just an AFL Central Victoria type setup where each league might enter a couple of, you know, Bridgie might end up playing against Coldenabbin and might end up playing against Kangaroo Flat and things like that. I think there's definitely going to be a hunger for some sort of footy this year if we get to a point with obviously this COVID virus where we're allowed to.
Yeah, let's just hope the COVID virus passes so we can definitely get a footy season underway. Also, there was something else that I read too, Jaden, which I think it's fantastic that the Cricket League said they're happy for the Bendigo League to play in October to play their finals. They've said they're happy to do that. From that, that's only what I've read on social media, so I'm not sure how true that is. Yeah. But yeah, that's my understanding from what they've said.
Yeah, I think I read something similar that they agreed that they're willing to look at, you know, offering up the ovals until the end of October. And look, that I think the biggest hurdle that we're facing is ground availability. Now in the Loddon Valley, we're fairly lucky. A lot of the ovals are exclusively footy or cricket competition out there. I think we'd be in a position that they would be more than happy to start late, you know, whether it be November, December, or even January. So I think Loddon Valley wise, you're definitely going to be able to have some grounds available. It's just in the Bendigo, obviously, with all the cricket and stuff like that. So I think it's going to take, you know, a lot of people making a few little sacrifices and working together. And it's fantastic to read that, you know, that is front of mind for them and that could be a possibility.
That's right, mate. It's fantastic to see the footy league and the cricket league willing to work with each other, as you said. That's a fantastic thing that everyone wants to work with each other.
Yeah, I think so. And I think people realise how important sport is. And it's not just, you know, it's about connecting the community. It's about giving people something to do and believe and feel a part of in a weekend. And, you know, there's no one, you know, as close to footy clubs as it is, it's the same as crew clubs. They've got the same mentality. They're not as big, obviously, not having the netball and all the junior teams and all the different teams, but they definitely, you know, have that same mentality, and they would realise how important it is to be connected and have that sporting club.
Yeah, that's right, mate. Obviously, on that, as you just said, then it's like for a lot of people with footy or cricket or what other sport that other people may play, is it's about getting out in the community, socialising, and I suppose it does have a great mental impact on people.
Yeah, it does. It's hugely important, and, you know, whether it's sponsors, committee members, supporters, great helpers like yourself and Coop around the footy club, players, parents, you know, grandparents. Like I had grandparents for a long time that, you know, the best part of their week was stepping out, mate, and coming and watching footy on the weekend. So it's vitally important to the community, and it's great that I think that that's definitely been recognised, and the vast majority of people share that view. So, yeah, looking forward to the second that we can to getting back out there and getting it going again.
That's right, mate. I'm the same as you. I'm really keen for footy to get up and running again whenever that may be this year, and I'm sure there's everyone else out there's in the same boat as us. They're just keen to watch footy and netball again.
That's right, exactly right.
Who's the funniest player at your club?
Oh, at my club. I don't know. Duff Martin's pretty hard to go past. That's half the reason why I try to get him out there, because he keeps me nice and entertained. But we've got a few funny boys out there actually, which is good. So I was really looking forward to some of the functions and a couple of those sorts of opportunities to really see who is funny. Probably Duff's pretty hard to go past, isn't he?
Yeah, Duff was, I reckon, one of the favourites at Storm. Everyone loved Duff. He's just a funny and awesome fella.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's genuine, and he wears his heart on his sleeve, and he's a good person to be around.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks so much, JD, for joining me over the phone tonight. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it, mate. Good luck. Good luck to you and Bridgewater when the season gets up and running.
Too easy, Jed. Really appreciate you having me on, mate. And, I hope you do a few of these. I'd love to hear one every week. There's not much to do or talk about footy-wise. And, good to see you back in the studio. And, really happy and pleased to be on. So thank you.
No worries, mate. Thanks so much.
Cheers.